What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. I'm Andrew Ivins, joined by my man, Gabby Yerudia. We are going to talk recruiting on today's podcast. We both spent the weekend at a big 7-on-7 tournament in the Fort Lauderdale area. So we're going to get into that. Talk a little bit about maybe just some needs in general for Miami and the class of 2022. Kind of use this as a primer of sorts with the class of 2021 pretty much done for Miami and the class of 2022 on deck. So Gabby, how you doing, man?
Good, man. It was cool to take all that stuff in. Excited to get this thing rolling.
Yeah, didn't Miami come out with the official class hashtag for the class of 2022 over the weekend? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, no, I saw that. It was hashtag 22 to the U. I thought it was pretty clever. I thought that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, and some people are claiming this is a product of the Jake Garcia to the U.
Oh, okay. It could be. I guess I could see that, but I mean, I think it sounds well. It kind of flows pretty well to me.
Right. So, like I said, there was a big 7-on-7 tournament in Fort Lauderdale on Saturday and Sunday, put on by Battle Sports. They do some gear for football players. It was in Miami, but it was really in Fort Lauderdale. Kind of irks me. a lot of people, I guess, flew into Miami, not realizing that there was a closer airport, but that's a conversation for another day. So we're going to get into that because there was a ton of Miami targets in action. Some guys that Gabby and myself got to see for the first time. Before we do that, though, I want to talk about or set the stage for this class of 2022 when it comes to Miami. Right now, the Hurricanes have two kids committed in the 2022 cycle. I know most of our listeners, you know, are still just trying to wrap their heads around all the kids that signed a month ago, but the 22 is here. I mean, recruiting is a year-round thing, even in a temporary dead period. And Miami has two in the boat right now, two defensive linemen, Jamal Johnson out of Hollywood, Chaminade, and Madonna Prep. We all know how that's a feeder school for Miami. He's a three-star. He's committed to Miami. And the other kid is Brandon Cleveland from the Tampa area. He's a top 24/7 defensive lineman as well. So those are the two commits they have. Gabby, you've seen Jamal, correct? What do you think of him?
Yeah, I think Jamal's a solid player. Like, you know, he plays a lot of like defensive end for Chaminade and Madonna. I thought he really stepped up like for the team, especially like in the later half of the year. Like Kenyatta Jackson missed some time with a knee, and you know, he ended up putting up some pretty big numbers as a junior. So I definitely like Jamal Johnson. I know when he committed, we hopped on the pod and talked about him a little bit. And you know, I think he's someone that, you know, like we've mentioned, can eventually shift inside and kind of be an athletic, you know, interior defensive lineman for Miami. So I'm a Jamal Johnson fan. I think he could be could end up being a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think a lot of the people that are into the recruiting weeds, you know, at some question Miami taking him when they did, but fast forward 6 months later and it seems like he was a solid addition. Brandon Cleveland, he's at Tampa Carrollwood Day. He too had a good junior season. I know he just recently picked up an offer from LSU, and if we're just gonna be honest, I think he's gonna be one of those guys where it's like, is he going to visit other schools? You know, is he gonna go through that whole recruitment? I'm not saying he's gonna open things back up, but I don't think we should mark his name down in pen just yet. I think some things could happen there. I mean, hasn't been on campus before, at least to my knowledge. So I think that's one to monitor, but I don't think anything will happen with Jamal Johnson. I think he's kind of locked in with Miami. So those two are in the boat. I guess the question everyone has, what are the Miami's major needs in that 2022 cycle?
Yeah. I mean, I think I think when you just look around, I think you obviously got to look at, you know, I think wide receiver, especially just because, you know, we've talked about it. It's not a super strong 2022 wide receiver class. I think cornerback, definitely. I mean, cornerback, they didn't sign a cornerback last cycle. Like there's not a high school cornerback. Obviously you land Tyreek Stevenson in the portal, and that's a big addition. And then you got linebacker, Yeah, I know. You got a couple big ones in your backyard on Wesley Bisanthi and, you know, Travis Lathan, who I'm sure we'll get to. But I think, I mean, those are a couple spots where you can kind of highlight and be like, you know, those are a couple positions where Miami really needs to, you know, land a couple dudes. And then you just obviously, you know, every cycle you got to bring in a quarterback. So who that quarterback's going to be next cycle is definitely going to be a big question mark too.
Yeah. Can I give you my theory on what Miami should do with the numbers kind of moving forward?
Yeah, let's do it.
I've been thinking long and hard about this, and there's been some message board posts on InsideTheU.com where people are trying to figure out not mock classes, but how would you distribute the scholarship numbers. You got to remember right now, given the current NCAA structure, you can only take 25 kids each 12 months. I think it goes August to August. So you got 25 counters. Those could be high school kids, transfers, graduate transfers, junior college kids, prep kids. It all falls into that same 25. And the more I've thought about it, I think if you are Miami, and really maybe other schools in the country will kind of take this, have a similar line of thinking. I don't think you sign more than 20 high school kids, a year in a class. And why? I think just given how college football is turning into free agency essentially with the transfer portal and kids getting a one-time waiver where they don't have to sit out. Like, I think you just got to make room for those guys. So if you sign 20 high schoolers, then that gives you five spots to work with. In the past couple of years, Miami has been very, very active in the transfer portal. And every year it's like, well, if we had one more spot, we would have used it on this guy. So I think, you know, maybe it's a maximum. You only take 20 high school kids, and those are ones you really want. And then you save five spots for transfers. And I think, and why I say maximum, because I think that might even be a little high. You know, why not give yourself six or seven spots in the transfer portal to add veterans, add guys that can help you win right away? Because I know Miami right now, they're full. They signed, what, 21 during the early signing period, have added three transfers, Tyreek Stevenson, Charleston Rambo. And who's the last one? I'm drawing a blank on it.
DeAndre Johnson.
DeAndre Johnson, you know, they're full. And I think they would love to make a run at some of these Tennessee football players that are in the transfer portal, but the reality is they just don't have spots. So that's why I think you try to give yourself some numbers to work with, because you never know what's going to happen and who's going to become available.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting just because like you're seeing, like you mentioned this situation at Tennessee. Like again, imagine if Miami had a few more spots where they can be like, oh, let's go get that linebacker. I can't really pronounce his last name, but imagine you can go get a guy like that, like later on. Like obviously you make some good moves with Rambo and with Stevenson and with DeAndre Johnson, but then like, you know, this whole fiasco kind of not comes out of nowhere, but just kind of happens at Tennessee when it does, once Miami's kind of full and you're left there like, dang, like what you just said. Imagine if we had a spot or two to kind of try to go after some of these guys. And I know Josh Pate, who does the Late Kick Cut. I mean, I listen to his podcast all the time. He was talking about how like schools should start having like a like how they have a so like a high school scouting department, a JUCO, whatever, that they should start having like an FC or an FCS, FBS scouting department too, to start scouting these guys. Because you know, with the free agency, like you mentioned, it's almost like you need someone in your program that's gonna be able to kind of be looking around and be like, okay, if this kid goes or if this type of player goes, you know, maybe we can go after this guy or guy X or guy Y or whatever it is. And I think that's something that's interesting. And with this one-time transfer rule, that, you know, it would be interesting to see if Miami or other schools start kind of developing a role like that for situations like you just kind of mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, they can hire me. You just basically have to watch a ton of college football. That's what it would take. Let's get into this tournament, but I do think that's interesting and something that's going to be a role that will evolve. So the tournament, I don't know how many teams there were, but they came from, there was one from Utah, one from Arizona, one from Los Angeles, one from Philly, one from Louisiana. A bunch of South Florida teams. I've probably drawn a blank on some other ones, but there was a lot. Gabby, and I think this was your first 7-on-7 tournament. So, like, what did you think about it?
Yeah, it was something, man. Like I guess I kind of I didn't really know what to expect, I guess, entirely, but I knew it was gonna be kind of craziness. I knew it was gonna take me a minute to like adjust to kind of like the flow and the tempo of things. I still don't know how the games are scored. I still don't know like really like who won or who lost most of the time, but it was just it was honestly just cool to get out there and just like just kind of see and take in all the action, see all these guys. But it was definitely a cool event. I'm definitely looking forward to the next one, but it was definitely an experience for sure that I'll remember.
Well, here's the rule of thumb. Like every tournament has different scoring rules. Like sometimes you can blitz, sometimes you can't blitz. I never know how long games are. You never know who's on whose team. I saw on Sunday at one point, kids would get eliminated playing with one organization, and then like an hour later, I'd see them playing for some other team. I mean, like when I played youth soccer, you had like these player cards like with your face on it, and like the referees would check those every game. Like you could never get away with what essentially what was going on. Yeah. But it's the Wild West. It's 7-on-7, and it's, you know, a lot of people knock it because it's not real football, but I think there's the potential for you to get a lot of evaluations. You can see how a kid moves, what a kid looks like, and all of that. And that's one of my favorite parts about it. You can just see dude after dude after dude all essentially doing the same thing, and you can really figure out, you know, who's good at doing what. Some of the high profile kids on hand that have Miami interest, I want to ask you about them, Gabby, just what you thought. Let's start at the top. Kamari Rogers, a cornerback out of the Mississippi area, or not out of the Mississippi area. He lives in Mississippi, but he's a former LSU commit. Miami right in the thick of things, according to 24/7 Sports Director of Recruiting Steve Wiltfong. I've heard the same. I wrote about it, I think it was last week, that Miami thinks they have some traction. To me, I thought the kid looked amazing on Saturday and Sunday. Interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought he was really good. Like, I thought he was probably one of the better corners out there. Like Domani Jackson, the California kid, was out there too, the 5-star. And, you know, I mean, obviously like that kid's in a kind of a league of his own, but I mean, I didn't see too much of a drop off between him and Kamari Rogers. I thought he was a really good player. Like one thing that kind of stood out to me, just like even after talking to him, like I kind of noticed he was like a quiet, like kind of kid, like a little soft spoken. And then you kind of see him on the field, and I kind of saw like, not like, again, I had one conversation with him, but a different side of him kind of came out, and you kind of saw him like kind of bring out that confidence that he kind of just carries with him on the field. And I thought he did a really good job. Like one of the matchups that was intriguing to me was just, you know, when he played the Immortals, like going up against Jaylen Brown, who's a 2023 top 100 wide receiver, who I know both of us are pretty high on. And I mean, I didn't see Jaylen Brown catch a ball that actually counted, you know, like, you know, I thought he did a really good job covering him. And so I was really, really impressed with Kamari Rogers for sure.
Yeah, I have described him as he's got a grasshopper type build. And what do I mean by that? He's got really long legs. And my first exposure to Kamari Rogers was last year, same time at this event. And he must have been 145 pounds tops. He has filled out a little bit, got some bounce to him, got some twitch to him. I think if he were to come to Miami, I think he would be the best cover corner that the Hurricanes would have signed, assuming he, you know, picked Miami and signed with him, probably since I've been on the beat. Like, I think he has that high of a ceiling, definite top 247 guy for me. And like we said, Steve Wiltfong, he wrote a story about how Miami's in it. I've heard the same. DeMarcus Van Dyke getting involved. So will be a name to know. You know, this is the time of the year, if you follow recruiting for Miami, we start throwing a whole bunch of different names at you. What I love to do is just kind of dumb it down and give you the names you need to know. I think Kamari Rogers will be a name to know for the next couple of months, until at least he makes a decision. Former LSU commit, Mississippi State, Ole Miss also involved, but that's one to monitor. Another guy who I thought had an awesome tournament was Kamari's teammate on the Louisiana Bootleggers, Shaz Preston. Gabby, what'd you think of him? Because he had the catch, I thought, of the tournament with a one-hander in the end zone. I tweeted it out on my feed. But Miami's involved with him, and he looked the part.
Yeah, I thought he had maybe three of the top five catches of the tournament. Like he made a few. I mean, on Saturday he made one right in front of me. It wasn't that one-hander that you were talking about, but that one was insane. He just made another one where he just kind of went over the top of the corner. I can't remember what team it was against, but just an amazing play. And then he made one again on the grass fields on the other side, where, you know, just corner of the end zone, just went up, beat his guy one-on-one. And I got a video of that. I think you did too. And just like, I just feel like you just saw so many times where you just saw Shaz Preston just kind of get lined up man on man. They just throw the ball up in his direction and he just found a way to come down with it. So, I mean, I thought he was one of the more college ready receivers at the event. Like, I thought he looked awesome. I mean, if I'm Rob Likens, I'm making sure that he knows that he's kind of wanted at Miami, because, you know, I thought he was really, really impressive.
Yeah. And you wrote a story on Inside the U Monday morning. He has spoken with Ed Reed. Shaz has.
Yeah. Yeah. He was talking to me like, you know, just, I guess during this season, at one point, Miami kind of put him on the phone with Ed Reed before one of the games. And he was telling him how he wants to get a St. James boy at Miami. Ed Reed, obviously a Louisiana native, like takes a lot of pride in that, came down to Miami, obviously had a Hall of Fame NFL career. So, you know, him having that phone call with Shaz, like at least from Shaz's end, was definitely a big deal, because he kind of cited, like, you know, the history of the program and all the people Miami have kind of brought in, and then talked specifically about Ed Reed, and then like mentioned how they spoke on the phone. So I think that was a big moment for him, and something that's definitely stuck with him all these months if it happened during the season.
Yeah. And, you know, for those who have no idea who Shaz Preston is, he is a top 24/7 wide receiver, thick in the upper half. You know, I think he would be a guy who could catch a high volume of targets in Miami's offense, more specifically Rhett Lashley's offense. Be a slot guy in the middle. But yeah, he initially, I think in the tournament, I was kind of like, oh, this is him. And then I don't know what he did, what he ate or what, but he flipped a switch, and it was impressive, especially in those elimination games. One more guy or two more guys. Let's stick with receivers. Kion Gray, is it Graves or Grays? Or you don't even know.
I think it's Grays. Yeah, I think it's Grays.
He's a wide receiver out of Arizona, was playing for the Tucson Turf. Now, they're not a top 247 kid. He's actually 247 as a 3-star. But this is a guy that Rob Likens has a relationship with, and one we probably haven't mentioned Miami being a contender with yet, right?
Yeah, I mean, not so much. I mean, I know we've talked about in the past, like he visited Miami with the 7-on-7 team. You know, I think it was this basically around this time last year. And, you know, again, he's in South Florida again. So he's been in South Florida twice in the last calendar year, which is, I guess, good news for, like, you know, a West Coast guy. I actually caught up with him and he said that, like, you know, yeah, he loves South Florida. He loves Miami. He loves, like, the area that, you know, like, obviously, like, there's schools like Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon that are involved. But, you know, he has a relationship with Rob Likens. I think he told me that Rob Likens was the first guy to offer him back when he was at Arizona State. And, you know, offered him again now when he was in Miami. And he had some good things to say about the Hurricanes and about Likens. So, you know, who knows if the door might not be shut there, even though there is some other programs involved.
Yeah, and Ohio State was the other program, or was it Arizona? Like, who else did you think was involved? Because I didn't even talk to the kid.
Yeah, no, he definitely mentioned Ohio State. And, you know, you go on the 24/7 profile, and, like, that's one of his warm programs. So I think that that's just, like, a general consensus from some people, you know, within the network. And then, yeah, I did ask him about Arizona, because he was committed to Arizona, and then he recently backed off of it once Kevin Sumlin was fired. And, you know, he told me that before he came over here, he was actually on FaceTime with Jed Fish, and, you know, who was just recently hired at Arizona, and that whole entire offensive staff. And I told him, I was like, it's pretty cool. Like, Jed Fish was actually one time the offensive coordinator at Miami. So I just told him that there was some sort of connection there, just to kind of, you know, just for the sake of conversation. And yeah, so I think Arizona's still going to be in the picture there for him.
You mentioned Likens, the next guy. He likes to call Rob Likens Rob Leakins. and that's Sam Mbake, a top 24/7 receiver from the Georgia area. He was playing for a group out of California. Honestly, I've seen Mbake. I'd have to count on two hands with the amount of different teams I've seen him play for on the 7-on-7 circuit over the years. It seems like every week he's on a different team. You know, he's like been on Fast Houston, which is out of Houston. He was on Ground Zero, which is obviously out of California. It's just wild. He told me Miami is in his top group, also likes Georgia. I think they will be the team to beat if they want him. Penn State and Coach Stubbs is in there as well. Did you get a chance to see him? He's like a bigger wide receiver. Miami does not have something like him on the roster. And when I say big, he's not necessarily the tallest, but he's thick in that lower half, and he does an excellent job of kind of shielding smaller defensive backs and getting the ball.
Yeah, I actually wrote that this morning, where I wrote up like just like my observations of just guys that I saw across, like, you know, over the course of the weekend. And like I wrote, like, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, this California team has this tight end, like this nice looking tight end. Like, I just, that's who I thought he was. It was before I knew it was Mbaka. And then, you know, you kind of pointed out to me that it was him, and I was like, okay, like he's a big bodied kid, like you just kind of mentioned. And yeah, I mean, it's the frame is definitely intriguing. Miami definitely doesn't have anything like him on the roster. And you know, I got to speak with him a little bit, and you know, it seemed like he was pretty informed on like what was going on at Miami. Like, he was saying, oh yeah, I like how they're gonna, you know, play some of the younger receivers. Like, he mentioned Romello Brinson by name, as I, you know, he's a kid from Georgia. Like, it's, I thought it was kind of, I don't know if that happens, but he was just like, oh yeah, Romello Brinson is a guy with, like, you know, similar offer sheet as me, and you know, he decided to go play at Miami, so if he can, like, you know, that could be an option for me too. And you know, he said, oh, I like that they're going to play the younger guys. And, you know, he actually, I guess before quarantine, before the whole pandemic hit, he was working out at IMG Academy, and KJ Osborne was there working out with him. So he said that, you know, for a few weeks there, he got to know KJ, and KJ would kind of like, you know, talk up Miami to him, or just kind of tell him about his experience at Miami. And I think that's another factor there that's kind of kept him kind of intrigued with the program.
Yeah, he was texting me. I guess he had some food truck in the Fort Lauderdale area, like some egg roll food truck. He's like, I love it here. I'm like, okay. Like, it was just like the most random text. I'm like exhausted on my couch. One quick note, and then we're going to take a break and get into some other kids. I will point out, a lot of people want to, since Miami has hired Tavarus Robinson or T-Rob, have wondered what kind of impact he will have on the recruiting trail. And on Sunday, at one point, I was walking around the fields, and Jaheim Singletary, he's a five-star corner, top three corner in the country. He's out of the Jacksonville area. Robert E. Lee, he actually came up to me, and he goes, hey, man, Miami's definitely, like, involved in my recruitment. I'm like, oh, like, you just committed to Ohio State. What do you mean? He goes, well, I'm a big T-Rob fan. Like, I really like T-Rob. That's my guy. So I'm probably going to talk to them moving forward. So I thought that was interesting that, you know, this guy that just shut it down was all Ohio State, felt the need. It's not like I went up to him for this interview. Like, he stopped me as I was walking by and said that. So T-Rob, definitely Miami already getting that boost, I think, on the recruiting trail. Let's take a quick break. Other side, going to get into some more, maybe not as high profile guys, but guys that could absolutely sign with Miami and be parts of this 2022 recruiting class.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, Gabby, I mentioned there was three South Florida teams at the tournament, the Miami Immortals, South Florida Express, and DEFCON, who ended up winning the whole thing. I know you spent a lot of the tournament following those teams around. One guy I want to ask you about was wearing Miami gloves, and this is a guy that you actually have a crystal ball pick in to end up at Miami, and that's Mike Jackson, the speedy wide receiver out of Miami Palmetto. He made a play on Saturday where I, like, my jaw dropped, just took a nice little slant and then just hit some extra gear and left everyone in the dust. It was pretty impressive. What did you think of him, and what's going on in that recruitment?
Yeah, Mike Jackson is just fast, man. Like, that's really like the way to describe him. Like, he's just like what you just mentioned. He really has an extra gear. Like, he turns on the jets and he's like, he's gone. There's not a lot of people that are going to catch him once he hits like that top speed. So I thought he definitely showed some flashes. I think that, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you kind of mentioned Chaz Preston as like a high volume guy. Like, I think Mike Jackson could potentially be like a slot guy where, you know, you just dink and dunk it to him and he can kind of get you a couple extra yards just with his legs alone. So I thought that he showed some good things. We also learned that he was Tyreek Stevenson's cousin. Yeah. So that was another interesting nugget to come out of that. But, you know, with his recruitment, I think Miami's very much involved. Like, I feel pretty good about, you know, my crystal ball being on Miami. If, you know, he told me that, you know, I was just having a casual conversation with him, and he was saying that, you know, Rob Likens is, you know, talking to him pretty regularly. Like, you know, that they're kind of keeping in communication. And he was telling me that Georgia and West Virginia were a couple other schools there that have kind of been talking to him. And, you know, I think that, you know, the speed's just very intriguing. So it's not surprising to me. Like, you hear Georgia and it's like, okay, like, they can probably go get whoever they want. Do they really want, you know, a slot guy out of South Florida? But, you know, you can't, there's really not a lot of guys that possess the speed Mike Jackson has. So it'll definitely be interesting. And then West Virginia is obviously known for taking these speedster type of guys and kind of making them into something. You know, they could always kind of hang their hat on the whole Tavon Austin thing. So it was actually, like, Mike Jackson's a guy that mentioned Miami. There's another guy we mentioned that we'll get to later on that also mentioned West Virginia and Tavon Austin specifically, that it kind of makes sense to me, I guess.
Hey, you know, Mike Jackson might be on the smaller side, but so was Isaiah McKenzie. Georgia signed him out of American Heritage Plantation. Yep. He turned into a fifth round draft pick. And I think he's currently on the Buffalo Bills, I believe, right?
Yeah, he absolutely. I think he had a career day against the Miami Dolphins. Like, just eliminate him from the playoffs. So, yeah, that was full circle right there.
I do think Mike Jackson, I mean, would solve some of the issues for Miami in the return game. But obviously, he's a few years away. Quarterback, that's something all people always want to talk about. There was, for a 7-on-7 tournament, and I know you haven't been into a ton of these, Gabby. Like, this was probably one of the weakest waves of quarterbacks I've seen. I don't even know if there was really a 4-star there. There were some guys in the 2023 that have a chance, but it was kind of a ho-hum group. There was one arm that Miami's looking at, and that's Zion Turner, the kid out of St. Thomas Aquinas. He was playing for the Miami Immortals, rotating with Carson Haggard, who is Gulliver Prep's quarterback. Just kind of, what did you think of him? I know you saw him playing pads this season, but they ran the ball a lot. So just your thoughts, and do you think he could be a fit at Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely excited to watch him play because, you know, like you mentioned, like, St. Thomas Aquinas runs the ball a ton. So I definitely wanted to see him kind of just like let it go and just kind of like see him show off that arm. I thought he showed some flashes. You know, I still think that he kind of has some room to grow as a passer, like you mentioned. I mean, I didn't really see any quarterback in the camp that was just like, oh man, like, this kid's like really, really impressive. But I thought he showed some good things. I thought he had a strong connection with Camden Brown, who's going to be one of his receivers at St. Thomas Aquinas. So I think that's probably good news for the Raiders and Roger Harriott's group. But, you know, I think it could could potentially be a fit with just like, I mean, I think I trust Rhett Lashley as a quarterback developer. And I think if, you know, Zion's a guy that, that he likes, I think that, I think it could potentially work out. I know that there's a couple other schools that are involved too. Like he spilled to me that, you know, Mike Boba, Auburn, who's their new offensive coordinator, just kind of reached out. So I think there's a chance that they start, you know, maybe creating some contact there. And he also said Kentucky, again, West Virginia and LSU are a couple other schools there. So, I mean, I'm definitely intrigued with Zion Turner. Again, like he might not be like number one, like solidified at the top of my personal rankings at the quarterback position for Miami, but I think he could be an option if, you know, things, if some of the dominoes start falling and, you know, it seems like they might not get some of the guys maybe higher on the board than Zion.
So this is my take on Zion Turner. And I shared this with pretty much anyone that wanted to hear it over the weekend. Like, I think he is talented. I think he's still figuring it out as a passer. Do I think he could be a guy for Miami? I'm not sure yet. I would say yes, 100% right now. If he was a super elusive runner, like a guy that is similar or close to De'Aaron King with the ball in his hands. And I just don't think Zion is there yet. I mean, he could be. I mean, he can run the read option and all that stuff. But if he was an elite, elusive guy in the open field, I think he would be a no-brainer for Miami. And right now, I'm just not sure that is him. So, I they're going to keep recruiting him. I honestly don't know where exactly he sits on the board. That's just – it's kind of my thought. But he does have the size, and he can rip it every now and then. So, certainly – an interesting prospect. Another guy with the last name Turner, not related, at least to my knowledge, Ryan Turner, a cornerback out of Hollywood Chaminade Madonna Prep. He was playing for SFE, South Florida Express. Miami obviously pretty much gets what it wants from Chaminade. I'm just wondering, Gabby, what did you think of him?
I thought he was good. I thought he was really good. I two plays stick out to me. Of Ryan Turner, and they both happened on Saturday. I think I can't remember who exactly SFE was playing, but they were right on the goal line, and you know they both times they went right at Ryan Turner's direction, and both times he deflected the pass, and you know he kind of held off the team from scoring. I believe that they turned it over, and you know he just made two big time plays right at the goal line. So I thought Ryan Turner definitely looked good. I thought he showed that he, you know, maybe not the top corner in South Florida. I mean, you got Earl Little, you got Jacoby Spells, you got a couple guys there. But I think Ryan Turner is definitely, you know, worthy of, you know, consideration from Miami. I think that he's a guy that could potentially play at Miami. You know, I was talking to him about, you know, DeMarcus Van Dyke, and, you know, he's a big DeMarcus Van Dyke guy and got really, really like happy and smiley kind of talking about Miami. You know, he just got a Clemson offer and a Florida offer. So he was kind of like, you know, saying things were even or whatever, but the Miami, we're talking about Miami, seemed to really leave an impression on him. And, you know, he is at that pipeline Hollywood Chaminade Madonna program that you kind of noted earlier with Jamont Johnson. So, you never know what happens there, but I thought he had a pretty strong showing at like throughout the weekend.
Yeah. You mentioned Earl Little. I think you had already left. Earl was hanging out. He did not participate in the 7-on-7 tournament. He was hanging out just watching. And then as the sun went down, he went through a workout, brief little footwork workout with one of his coaches, and having watched Damani Jackson, Jaheim Singletary, Will Johnson, who's a five-star corner out of Michigan, Kamari Rogers, Jordan Allen. So basically I think I saw like eight of the top 20 corners in the class of 2022 class of 2022 work out at some point in some capacity over the past 2 days. I thought Earl was the most fluid out of all of them. I was like, wow, like NFL guy. So he's definitely a priority and a want for Miami. But guy, you know, it was just, I hadn't seen him since the season. I was like, damn, this was a good refresher. Like he is really, really good. One more I wanted to ask you about, because I think he's an intriguing prospect just in terms of what Miami's going to do. You know, they're going to have to take a tight end. I mean, they don't have to, but they will. Right now, it doesn't seem like they're zeroed in on anyone. And probably the best tight end in South Florida is DeCarlo Donaldson. He was at Gulliver Prep. They call him what's his nickname? It's like not
CJ.
Even,
CJ.
What is, yeah. I'm like, they're like, oh, where's CJ? I'm like, who? but he had a pretty productive few days catching passes. And, you know, he's probably 6'2", but he is a thick 225 and he can move. What'd you think of him?
I've liked DeCarlo Donaldson. Like I went to a few Gulliver prep games this year. Like, you know, that's kind of like right down the street from my house, not far from me at all. So I spent quite a bit of time there, and I thought he had a really good junior season too. Like he was again, like what you mentioned, he was really good just over the weekend. Like I just thought I was really impressed by like his hands and, you know, just how well he was able to kind of create separation, even in this environment where it's a lot of like corners and safeties, defensive backs. And he was kind of still able to leave his mark at 6'2". And again, like, you know, kind of like, you know, a bulky kid that definitely has some mass on him. But yeah, I think he's you mentioned the South Florida tight ends. Like, I don't know how many there are exactly. I know it's Donaldson, maybe Julian Lewis from Western, and Mason Taylor is another kid that got an offer. But I mean, Donaldson has looked really solid, and he actually already holds a Miami offer. So I mean, I was definitely intrigued by him. I was really impressed with him. I knew he was good, because again, like I'd seen him play, but I didn't know he was like that, like kind of like what he showed on Saturday. So definitely left impressed by him.
Well, that's the thing. Again, everyone wants to knock 7-on-7, but you take a tight end who might only get 25 targets all season. You don't get much of a sample size, and you go out to a 7-on-7 tournament and that guy is getting 5-6 targets a game. So you can figure out real fast just how they are, ball skills, how they control themselves in the air. That's one of the also beauties of 7-on-7 football. Last thing I got from my end, Gabby, anyone who caught your eye out there that you think Miami should offer, should get involved with? It could be multiple guys, but just anyone you're like, Miami should be in on this guy. It doesn't even have to be a guy from South Florida. Again, there was teams from all across the country there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one guy definitely I got to give credit to you, because you're the one that pointed him out to me and like kind of told me who he was. And that's Devon Mortimer, who's a receiver out of Fort Lauderdale Dillard. And my gosh, that kid was unreal all weekend. Like he was so good. Like he's just unbelievable speed. Like we talked about Mike Jackson and kind of like that play, but Mortimer had one too in that championship game where he kind of like, you know, he took a short out and then he just turned on the Jets, and just like, I was just like, no one's going to catch him. Like no one's going to get this kid. He caught a little bit of open field and he was just gone. So, I mean, I just think he just has really, really impressive speed. I think that he's someone that Miami should go after. I know he has a couple offers. He's the one that mentioned Tavon Austin and West Virginia to me. So you can kind of, I look at, and he says something like that, I'm just like, all right, like, I don't blame you, you know, like that's obviously something that, again, maybe he's not Tavon Austin, but like, you can kind of see why he would appreciate that style with his skill set. And, you know, he told me he's actually been on the phone with Miami. So, you know, who knows if an offer comes, you know, soon down the road, but I definitely think he's someone that Miami should get involved with. The other one, I'm going to go with Anthony Rose, just like the safety out of Hallandale. He's one of the four that were on the call with T-Rob. And, you know, I just think he's a super intriguing prospect. You know, 6'4", you know, he's super rangy at that safety position. You know, he played corner at Carroll City last year, so he has a lot of those cover skills and, you know, could potentially, I don't know, maybe play corner. I don't really know what the situation would be there, but he looks like a safety to me. My whole thing is like, I don't know if he can tackle, because you even turn on his junior tape and it's like, he just picked off a bunch of balls and batted down a bunch of balls and all that stuff. I didn't really see a whole lot of him like actually tackling, but I mean, just his skill set is something that's super intriguing to me. And, I would like to see Miami potentially, you know, go after a guy like that.
Yeah, I think Miami's looking at both of them. Mortimer, 10.95 last year to open up his track season before the shutdown happened. I mean, he told me he thinks he would have got close to 10.5. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe 5 special teams touchdowns in 6 games as a junior. Dillard, you know, they opted out of the state playoff series, so they just played a few games and then were in that South Florida playoff. But he is electric with the ball in his hands. He's the reason why DEFCON won, in my opinion, why they beat the Bootleggers. He had the first touchdown, which was a wheel route, where he got it, secured it over his shoulder and strolled into the end zone. And then late in the game, took a nice little like a shallow out or something, and then essentially outran a bootleggers defense that had six top 247 prospects in it. So, yeah, I've kind of made my statement that I think he's probably the top slot receiver in South Florida for the next cycle. And, I think it kind of verified that on Sunday. So yeah, I'm a big fan of him.
Absolutely. No, he was really, really good. Is there anyone that like caught your attention? Anyone like kind of like anyone else, I guess maybe I didn't mention that you kind of, sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I mean, those are two guys that I think, for sure, getting a chance to see Wesley Bisthane move around, Tavoris Lathan as well, or is it Tavoris Lathan? Both those guys are linebackers for the Miami Immortals. I mean, I wrote last week that Miami has these guys really high on their board, and I think that's important because they're both over 6'1". They're lean, but they're athletic, and I think Miami needs to get lean and an athletic at linebacker. Yeah, you can play a Corey Flag here and there, but you need guys that can run. You need guys that can cover, and I saw that from both those guys. Lathan, in one of those games, I mean, he like mossed someone in the end zone for a touchdown, took like another catch and run type deal. So those are guys that stood out to me. I'll give you one more. Isaiah Guy, he was playing in the secondary for the South Florida Express. He's from the Ocala area. I think he's at Forest High School. This is my first time ever seeing him. I just had kind of seen his tape. And, you know, eventually I'm going to have to rank him. But I think he, too, is kind of in this new age linebacker era that we're looking for. Guys that play other positions but have, like, a linebacker frame. And I think he could be one of those guys. No idea if Miami's going to get involved, but he's another one that stood out to me.
Yeah, no, that true. The thing with Lathan is just like what you were saying, like he is a linebacker, like he's built like a linebacker, but you see him making plays at receiver, like really making impressive plays like at receiver for that Immortals team. And I think, again, it just shows like that athleticism you're talking about at linebacker. I think Lathan's one of those guys that absolutely fits the mold of, like, you know, just kind of like the new age linebacker that can also cover.
One more note. Where was I going to go with this? Aaron Hester, edge rusher out of the Jacksonville Beach area, was scheduled to make a commitment on January 28th. He's a 2022 kid. Now sounds like he is holding off. He got offers from Michigan and Penn State. And it seems like he wants more times to think things over. It was Miami and FSU battle, but now, you know, they're taking a step back. And there's a ton of people on our message board that are like, oh, Miami doesn't need to leave South Florida for an edge rusher. But I would encourage you to watch his tape. I think he's a twitchy guy. And look, man, if Penn State and Michigan all of a sudden are after an edge rusher, I think the kid's pretty good. I mean, I don't know about you guys, watch the NFL draft. Both those programs have churned out some guys. So has Miami. So I would trust the coaching staff evaluation with those guys.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, that will do it for this podcast. I don't know when me and David will be back. Gabby, tell everyone what you got coming up over the next few days.
Yeah. So I talked with a bunch of guys over the course of the week, you know, conversations with Earl Little, Kamari Rogers, you know, a whole bunch of guys. It's almost hard to like just remember everyone I talked to off the top of my head. Brandon Innes, Nathaniel Joseph, a couple of top sophomore wide receivers, a whole bunch of guys that I was able to catch up with. So just stay tuned on to and locked into InsideTheU.com for all those conversations. I'm going to be posting those over the course of the week.
All right, last question I have for you. Tyreek Stevenson was at the tournament. Is he a corner or is he a safety? I mean, he was just hanging out.
He was just hanging out. He looks like a safety to me, like all the way. Well, I'll see if he plays corner. But physically, I mean, honestly, just looks like an SEC football player, which is big for Miami. But yeah, I think he looks like a safety.
All right. Well, hope your mentions survive that comment.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, guys.